Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. On his website, tonight's guest writes, quote, "Being a voracious but dissatisfied reader, Eric E. Wright plunged into the writing of suspense novels after disappointment with the lack of engrossing contemporary stories featuring believable heroes. Out of that desire has come two award-winning suspense novels, The Lightning File and Captives of Menorah," end quote. Well, Eric is on the phone with us tonight from his home in Port Hope, Ontario, to talk about Rust Bucket, the last novel in the Josh Radley trilogy. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to The Cupbearer Forgot from Jay Calder's Vision CD. And now to our conversation with Eric E. Wright. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening.
Now, your website states that you started writing suspense novels after, I'm going to quote here, "disappointment with the lack of engrossing contemporary stories featuring believable heroes," end quote. What did you mean by that?
Well, I've always been a reader, enjoyed reading, and enjoyed reading adventure and suspense, but so often the characters are unrealistic. They're superheroes. They fight better than anyone can imagine. I wanted a story that was really believable, a character that we could relate to, someone like us with lots of faults and weaknesses. And it was sort of contemporary. I just got disappointed with some of the stuff I was reading.
Mm-hmm. When you were... So, now, you had been writing long before that as well, hadn't you?
Yes.
And that. So what are... Sort of go back to it. When did your love for writing start?
Well, I think it started, first of all, when I was a missionary in Pakistan. We discovered that the church there desperately needed training. It's very scattered. And so we discovered a method of training called theological education by extension. So I had to write the textbooks sort of from scratch. And I've been a teacher, enjoy teaching, enjoy preaching. So, but this was new, writing in such a way that people could understand things simply, logically, and in order. So during that period until 1980, I wrote probably five or six textbooks, which were translated into Urdu, the language of Pakistan. Then we came home, and I was asked to be the pastor of our home church and began to teach. And out of that teaching and preaching, I saw some glaring needs I wanted to address and began to write about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of your books was Church is Not a Spectator Sport.
That's right. One of the early series I taught in church was how to discover and develop your spiritual gifts. And then another one was about forgiveness, because if in the context of a local church, if you don't have a climate of love and forgiveness and forbearance, it's very difficult to do much else.
Mm-hmm. So how did you go from writing textbooks and writing books on things that would address some of the needs you saw within the church to writing novels?
Well, that's interesting. I had, where we lived at that time, we had moved from Toronto to Northumberland, east of Toronto. And at that point, I had published the book Revolutionary Forgiveness. And a neighbor was quite interested. He said, well, look, if you want to really get across forgiveness, why don't you tell a story? And I like stories. I like reading about them. So that said, well, maybe I better think of getting into that, although up to that point I'd been more into logical teaching point by point, you know. So I began the series of suspense novels starring Josh Radley, a freelance writer.
Right. Well, looking at that, how did you develop, and going back to the beginning of this conversation, how did you develop Josh Radley into a character that you felt was believable, that people could identify with?
Well, that's a good question. I think it sort of develops as you work with him. I realized that, you know, a lot of people have trouble with their marriages, so I wanted a character that was not a superhero but had struggles in his marriage. So in the first book, I had him having a huge fight with his wife, and actually her asking him to leave. That was in the book The Lightning File. And he was attracted as he took on this this challenge in that book of dealing with terrorism. He was attracted to a very beautiful Asian woman who was his source in CSIS. And so he dealt with temptation and things like that. And gradually this developed. He was a Christian, however, and so how does a Christian deal with this? The struggles, the challenges, understanding, loving his wife, but yet being frustrated. I just gradually developed the character.
Mm-hmm. And as you've been developing and as you've been working and writing, have there been other writers that have influenced you in both the way you think about writing or even just your writing style itself?
I'm sure there have been many. John Grisham, I enjoy his books, but they're more in a legal setting. But I like books that are are clear and lead you along so that you're really, there's a flow to it, there's a suspense building up. So I think I've been influenced by him and by other writers of that ilk. Unfortunately, my memory of names is a very poor.
Right. Well, what I want to do is that I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Eric E. Wright, author of Rust Bucket. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Inheritance from the Vision CD by Jay Calder. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Eric Wright, author of Rust Bucket. This was the third of the Josh Radley stories. Where did the idea for this particular novel come from?
The germ of the idea came from the real life event in which a Sri Lankan freighter was seized there in Vancouver by customs trying to smuggle in illegal immigrants. And I thought that would be an interesting, way to start a story. And plus, I like to set my stories at places that I've enjoyed or know. And so we had visited Vancouver. We'd visited Vancouver Island. And I thought the setting would be great, but I conceived of it as an old freighter that had been wrecked on the shore during a storm in the process of smuggling in, really, those who were destined for slavery.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about some really current items. I mean, you've got human trafficking, you've got terrorism, the illegal immigration and questionable immigration practices. I'm certain when you started the book, those weren't as top of mind as they are now. Are you surprised at how significant these topics have become since when you started writing the book to now?
Yeah, actually, I am quite surprised. They seem to become quite relevant over the course of time, but I do a lot of watching the news. My wife says I'm a news junkie, so I guess continuing to sort of watch the news and what's happening, and having been a missionary in Pakistan with a lot of contact with Muslims, good and bad, this whole idea and these things are in my mind a lot, and it just sort of naturally gravitated that way.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to write the novel?
Rust Bucket, probably 3.5 years. In fact, I was getting rather frustrated because life was intervening with our moving and downsizing. So I decided to join that November writing.
Right, NaNoWriMo.
That's right.
Yeah, National Novel Writers Month, yeah.
That helped me make a huge step forward in getting it done.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I've done it myself. I know a number of other writers have done it. What is it like challenging yourself to write a 50,000 word novel within the space of a month? What were some of the things that you found challenging about it?
Well, you have to sort of clear the decks and determine that you're going to sit down every morning and try and get so many words on paper, which is a huge challenge because, you know, there's all kinds of things coming up and appointments with doctors, things that have to be happening and so on. And I must say that my wife wasn't that thrilled with it, but she gave me leeway to do it. So just the determination to do it was a tremendous help, because our life is so busy.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that distract us. To find clear time to sit down and write was not easy. And I realized I wasn't going to get 50,000 words, but hey, 30,000 is okay to me.
Right. Now, I think one of the things, too, I would find with a novel like yours would have been time spent on research. And I know some of this has come from your own experience in Pakistan and some of the, you know, watching news and stuff like that. Were there any areas that you really had to do more research into to make the story as realistic as it is?
Yeah, I had to. I have never visited Seattle, so I had to really use Google. It's amazing what you can find on Google. It's amazing the what is it called? The Earth, where they give you a picture of the actual street, and you can walk down the street and everything. I forget the actual name.
Yeah, Google Earth.
Google Earth. That was enormously helpful. And then, you know, researching Washington State, the apple industry, researching brothels and prostitution, which I was a little concerned about. I thought, man, if I have this stuff on my computer, what if, you know, the police or something sees it? So that was a little scary, looking into the prostitution, which I didn't really want to, but...
I know a number of writers, who, especially those who do suspense and mystery, that the type, if their search history was ever looked at, the type of things people would find on there would be just incredible.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And the streets, and looking down at Vancouver using Google Earth, and even finding my way through Vancouver Island, through an area that is not tourist, to the part of the coast that is really very wild and deserted. I had to. It's amazing what you can find.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things is Rust Bucket is the third book in the third Josh Radley book. When you first started The Lightning File, were you thinking about a trilogy, or how did that come about?
No, I wasn't thinking about a trilogy. It just sort of happened. The first one did quite well. People really enjoyed it, and then they would keep saying, well, okay, when's the next one coming out? And since I'd spent a lot of time in Pakistan and loved Pakistan, I wanted to write something there that I knew about the country that would sort of dispel some of the false ideas about how wonderful the normal Pakistani is, and so out of that came Captives of Manara, which is set in an archaeological site. And so that sort of came along, and then the third one finally, Rust Bucket.
Are you looking at doing another Josh Radley book?
No, not at this point, no. I did another book, Riptide, which mm-hmm. is a standalone suspense novel set in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. I tend to do books about in places that I've enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked on the radio about that one when that one came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at our time. Let me take another break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to finish up our conversation with Eric E. Wright, author of Rust Bucket. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to A Longing Fulfilled from Jay Calder's Vision CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with author Eric E. Wright. Rust Bucket's been out for a little bit now. What's been the reaction to the book?
Well, those that have read it have been very, very positive about it. In fact, most of those that have read it have given me 5 out of 5. Only one has given me a 4 out of 5, so it's been well received, but it's sort of early days yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably expecting there's going to be some who won't be that thrilled with it, but people like it because it moves along, it goes fairly quickly, there's realistic characters, it's contemporary, and easy to read. So it's been very well received, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you sort of do leave Josh in a bit of a there's a little bit of a question over some of the things that he's gone through, and especially some of the personal things that he's going through. Are you ever going to look at trying to resolve that, or are you just going to leave that open at this point?
Well, that's a good idea. That now that you mention it, it might lead into a fourth one. The whole idea that he is dealing with cancer, prostate cancer, and he puts that aside in order to rush off to deal with this current issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point. I might actually carry that on because so many people are dealing with cancer.
Right, and of course that also led to, you know, you're talking earlier about in the lightning file about the issues he was having in his marriage and that, and even that whole aspect of putting off his cancer kind of leads to a bit of a conflict with his wife as well.
That's right. Yeah, she didn't want him to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, with this out of the way, what's next on your agenda?
I think next on the agenda here in Northumberland, we have a wonderful writers group called Spirit of the Hills, and they're putting out an anthology to celebrate Canada's 150th anniversary. So I'm working on two or three profiles of Canadians that I know who I can tell their story and put in that book. One of them, a young he's retired now, but he's a Spanish man from Ecuador who had a terrible struggle to get into Canada, but has been very successful. And a couple of stories like that.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find out more information about you and about your books?
Main information is found at my website, www.countrywindow.ca, and the books are available on Amazon. You can go to Amazon, just be sure and look for Eric E. Wright, not Eric Wright, because there seems to be dozens of Eric Wrights. So Eric E. Wright, and most of my books are available as e-books or as print books through Amazon.ca or Amazon.com, etc.
Right. Well, Eric, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection, and thank you to my guest, Eric E. Wright. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.